Hello and welcome to this third episode in our Kidney Conversations, sponsored by the Barbados Kidney Association. I'm your host, Jason Bell, and with me today are the president of the Barbados Kidney Association, Sadie-Anne Cisnett. How are you doing, Sadie-Anne?
Hi, I am well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And our vice president, Adrian Boyce. How are you doing, Adrian?
Not too bad today. Glad to be here.
Pleasure as always. There was a third guest in our previous two episodes, and this episode is dedicated to her memory because in the intervening period, she tragically passed. Sadie-Anne, would you like to speak to the memory of our dear public relations officer, Sabrina Newton?
Thanks, Jason. Yes, we got the unfortunate news from Adrian, actually, that Sabrina had passed while in hospital a couple of weeks ago. And as Jason said, we'd like to dedicate this episode to her and to her memory. And, of course, condolences to her family and friends and all those who would have even been at dialysis with her.
Yeah.
I want to pass it to Adrian as well. Just an unfortunate result sometimes of hemodialysis.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It came as a surprise, you know, to many of us, actually to me initially, seeing that she just came out of surgery.
I know, right?
And everything was going quite well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, it seemed as though, you know, as we all know, with renal failure, things can be sensitive and touch and go at any given time.
Yeah.
What I would say is that, you know, Sadie-Anne did mention it, you know, condolences to the family and friends and those who knew her, because she was definitely a voice and presence for the Barbados Kidney Association and for renal failure altogether. Apart from us, I can imagine that her daughter as well will feel that absence.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're just wishing her as well, you know, at this time of bereavement, all the best and, you know, peace. Her mom always, you know, would have always loved her.
Absolutely.
Wanted the best for her, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May she rest in peace and rise in glory. And may all the ones who are left behind continue to press forward in this cause of kidney disease awareness.
Awareness, yeah.
And so today's episode, we are focusing on the other method of dialysis, PD, as they call it, peritoneal dialysis.
Yeah.
Last time we spoke on hemodialysis. And our dear Sabrina was a hemodialysis patient. But Adrian, you are currently on PD, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And Sadie, you were on PD
yourself for
some time.
Yeah.
So perhaps we can spend today's episode focus on that. Adrian, tell us about your experience and maybe just explain to the listeners, first of all, what PD actually is.
Thanks for the question, Jason. Peritoneal dialysis is a home-based kind of treatment for kidney failure.
Right, right.
That uses the lining of the abdomen, the peritoneum, to filter waste and extra fluid from the blood itself.
Yeah. Right?
A permanent surgically placed catheter infuses cleansing fluid, which is the dilate, into the abdomen cavity, where it absorbs waste through a fill, dwell, and drain exchange process. I would mention this from before,
right?
You know, so the catheter is placed in the abdomen to allow it to fill with diurnal, the different strengths of diurnal, to draw the waste from the actual blood. The duration, which is the dwell process, is based on how severe the toxicity of the blood is. And that'll be prescribed by your doctor, your nephrologist, right? So duration of your treatment is based on how bad it is, how bad your renal failure is. So there are some individuals who only have a 4-hour or 6-hour treatment time. And there are some who have a 10-hour treatment time on the system.
Right.
But they may be given something called another type of medication called extraneal. This extraneal will be your last fill of the process. Right?
Right.
And you would have that in your abdomen during the day when you go about doing your work or you have errands to run or what have you. During that time when you're doing that, the extraneal is dialyzing as you go through the day.
Okay.
So when you connect to your cycler, then in the evening or nighttime, whenever you do your treatment, that's the first thing that is pulled off. So all the waste and different. So it's working almost 24 hours in a sense.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
For the types of PD, there's one called CAPD, which is a continuous ambulatory peritoneal dialysis. This is a manual or we will call it a manual type of dialysis, where 3 or 4 times per day, you'll be doing that same process of filling, dwelling, and draining. Some individuals use this type of peritoneal dialysis when you have like natural disasters, or you have your electricity out,
right?
Or if you are at work and you need to do dialysis as well.
So that process obviously doesn't take 4 hours. That would take a little bit less time.
Well, it will take the same amount of time that you have for your treatment. But instead of the machine doing it at home, you're manually doing it during the day.
Oh, wow.
So that same fill, dwell, and drain process, mm-hmm. you do manually during the day. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, you have a dwell time of 1.5 hours on your system. You also do that manually during the day. Mm-hmm. If you have 4 cycles, say, for example, at 2 hours dwell time. We try to advocate for business owners to be accommodating for renal patients who practice this type of dialysis,
right?
Because it needs probably a little area like this,
right,
that is relatively sterile and away from everybody, that they can do the process.
A bathroom stall will not suffice.
It may, but it's not ideal because of this type of, you know, germs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because you want to have a very clean area.
Yeah.
Right. So to accommodate for those individuals who do that, and it doesn't take very long. Like probably 20 to 25 minutes. Do the process and wrap back up and put themselves together.
Yeah.
They go and do their work for about 2 hours, mm-hmm. and then they have the next exchange. So they have a drain, then they drain what they had in the peritoneum. Mm-hmm. They drain that and they fill again. That's the manual type. The automatic type, which is the automated peritoneal dialysis, uses the machine or cycler to perform the exchanges overnight usually.
Okay.
Right? So while you sleep, the cycler is working. Mm-hmm.
This thing sounds like a generator going on. What your experience with the machine, and Sadie, you could probably speak to this a little bit too. What kind of disruption does the cycler have on your nighttime routine?
First and foremost, when you have chosen to do peritoneal dialysis and you have the catheter put in place, very often for the first couple of times as it get the system ready, so you have to do a cleansing session, so to speak, to make sure that the actual catheter is working,
right,
and the extension set and so on. You experience something called drain pain, and clearly it's because you have we call it a wand or a tube in the peritoneum that's free moving, so it's touching all these spots that never been touched before. So your nerves and different areas that are very sensitive get touched and affected.
And we don't have to use our imagination. If you're talking about your abdomen, you're talking about all your front, back, side, everywhere.
That's right. So for both men and women, they experience this pain in the front and back.
Yeah.
And it's very excruciating those initial stages. As the body becomes accustomed to it, it fades away, right?
Okay.
Some may experience it if the membrane is a wand inside there, free moving. If it suctions onto part of the peritoneum, like if you imagine a straw,
just
pee, and then you have to
there's no knocking it in back.
You can try to massage the abdomen to free it,
right.
So if you imagine how you have to adjust yourself to a different spot, because
of course
everyone isn't made the same as we are. Some have a better experience laying on their back, their left side or their right side, but there's some individuals who have been accustomed sitting on their stomach.
Yeah, so that's out.
That's out now.
Yeah.
So they have to, you know, reprogram themselves to find a comfortable spot and try to get some rest.
Yeah.
For renal patients altogether, though, on dialysis, especially at nighttime, they do suffer with insomnia and a symptom called restless feet as well too, because these circulatory issues that may occur, the lack of vitamin B and so on, iron, anemia, that kind of thing. You also have to watch very much your fluid intake.
Yeah.
It's a little more lenient on the persons doing PD and also your diet as well.
Right.
You can be a little more free in terms of what you consume, but always understand that dialysis is like putting dirty clothes in a washing machine. So the dirtier the clothes are, the harder the machine has to work to clean it.
Yeah.
So the same thing applies with dialysis. So the more dirty the blood is,
yeah,
the harder the machine has to work,
yeah,
or the more treatments you have to do.
Right.
That in itself is a major adjustment, a life adjustment.
Like
I mentioned in previous episodes, you know, you are basically starting from scratch.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to build a whole new routine around this thing.
You're restless for most of the night, and until sometimes your body becomes so tired that it finally goes to sleep, say around 5 o'clock in the morning. Right? And then you have to get up.
Yeah.
So imagine you're working at you got 8 to 4 job or 9 to 5. Right? You have overnight dialysis, you wake up, you're tired, you're exhausted because you hardly any sleep, and also the process itself is draining.
Right.
You have to get up, get yourself prepared, and head to work and do a full day's work. Come back and do the same thing.
Right.
Imagine that if you have children, you have to then understand. You have to make time for your children to make sure they're prepared and so on.
Yeah.
So you could imagine how much more taxing it could be for a renal patient. So we try to reach out to a lot of business owners to sensitize them of the reality of some person's life. And this is not only for renal failure, but for other non-communicables as well.
Thank you, Adrian. That gave me a whole another perspective. Sadie, having been through PD yourself, and I heard your chuckles and I heard your sighs, because it probably brought back memories.
Yes.
I wouldn't say good memories necessarily.
Not necessarily at all.
Right.
Like Adrian said, the first couple sessions, the drain pain is horrible. Horrible. But luckily, your body gets used to it, as we heard, and you carry on. The noise of the machine, I think, they took some getting used to, and especially for my husband. And he admitted that for the first couple of months, he could not sleep because he was hearing this machine, and he's checking me all the time to make sure that, you know, I'm okay and nothing is about to happen. And then if the machine makes some noise during the middle of the night, beeps and cycles, and if the cord kinks, then you get an alarm. And
oh my goodness.
Yes. So luckily, the PD nurses at the QEH are amazing. I don't think I have the same batch of nurses that Adrian might have now, but generally there is someone on call 24/7.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's a good thing about it.
Yeah.
And if you have any issues at all during the night, you have someone to reach out to.
Yeah.
So you have that support from the local government on medical sector, as well as from the private sector as well. That's great.
I had 1 full year of it. I still wasn't entirely used to it myself. Persons would kind of imagine the toll it takes and the restrictions it puts on your life. So that restricts your evening, nighttime activities. If you want to go out, do something, dinner, whatever it is, that's not possible.
I'm grateful that both of you who've been through PD are able to explain to us, the listeners. With just the couple minutes we have left, I want to speak to the World Kidney Day.
Well, in Barbados, we celebrate World Kidney Week 2026.
Yeah.
We'll be celebrating from March 8th to March 14th.
Good.
Right, so we have a whole suite of activities. They're being posted on our Instagram at Barbados Kidney and on our Facebook page as well, Barbados Kidney Association. So those events will be posted or are being posted currently. So you can go onto the page, Insta and Facebook, and you can see the events that we have planned. Starting with a church service at St. Cyprian's Church, Sunday, March 8th, and ending with a grand finale of a free concert.
Well, it's free.
It's free. There's no entry fee.
Okay.
There's no entry fee, but we do encourage donation, of course, the charity.
Yeah.
So, yes, come on down to the Barbados Defense Force on the 14th of March at 3 o'clock.
Saturday at 3.
At 3. 3 till 6. And lots of intervening activities in between there.
Give us that number again.
1-246-234-8803.
And that way we can continue the kidney conversations, brought to you by the Barbados Kidney Association. I'm your host, Jason Bell, and the last voice you heard before mine is the lovely president of the BKA, Mrs. Sadie Ann Cisnett, and joined here by the vice president, Mr. Adrian Boyce. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Take care.